Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is July 8th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing Patrick Mahomes' monster signing 2 days ago and how this will affect not only the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes himself, but could this have any sort of ramifications in regards to the rest of the league and how they conduct their signings. We're also going to be discussing David Njoku, who requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. A lot of people have been wondering, is there a potential for him to go to the Dolphins? Does it make sense? So I'm going to be discussing that. We're also going to be talking about a little bit of the issue with the 2020 season and how the coronavirus is affecting how it's going to move forward in terms of the players' salaries that recently came up. And that will all be discussed in today's episode. But first, we will begin with Patrick Mahomes' monster signing. It is the biggest sports contract in history among all sports, not just football, not just the NFL. It is bigger than Mike Trout's baseball contract, which was the biggest leading up to this. It's bigger than what Cristiano and Messi have. Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year extension. He has 2 years remaining on his contract, so it turns into 12. But he signed a 10-year extension that with incentives, which are like winning an AFC championship game, winning an MVP, winning a Super Bowl. This contract goes up to $503 million. 10-year extension, $503 million. Biggest sports contract in history. And it is hard to make the argument that Patrick Mahomes isn't deserving of this contract. I tweeted before the details and the numbers even came out that it is hard to come up with a number for Patrick Mahomes and say that they are overpaying him. That's how much talent he has. That's how much success he's had in his short-lived career so far. So it's hard to, for me, in my mind, for them to overpay for Patrick Mahomes. And Mina Kimes, who works for ESPN and does amazing work there, she actually brought up a good point that if he were to sign a contract that is only like a 5-year deal, and then he comes back after free agency, assuming he's healthy, assuming he's kept his production high, that he would actually probably be getting even more if you add up the numbers. He'll actually be getting a bigger contract that after 10 years would pay him more than if he signed this one big one right now. But of course, there is more to it than that. The security that he has with it, she made a good point that he wants to stay here, that it's more than just about maximizing how much money. You never know if he's going to get hurt, you know, if he can keep up this production. Signing a deal right now that is this long, gives them this much security, that kind of guarantees them most of this money, it really is a no-brainer, especially when you're talking about $500 million that's on the table. So this has people kind of wondering, is this going to set a precedent for future NFL stars? Are we going to see more signings like this? You know, this is very much a contract that you would see in baseball more so than the NFL. And I think when I look at this, the thing you have to remember is this contract doesn't change the inherent nature of what is football. Injuries are likely. It is hard to guarantee production as a player ages. And to me, Patrick Mahomes is more of the outlier than somebody who is going to set a standard for future contracts to come. I mean, there are not many players in the NFL right now that I can look at and say, yeah, he will probably get a 10-year contract like Patrick Mahomes. The closest one that I could even think of something like this happening that is currently in the NFL is maybe I could point to Deshaun Watson and say maybe, but even then, Deshaun Watson has torn his ACL several times. He's butted heads with Bill O'Brien and kind of the ownership over there in Houston. I don't think he is somebody who kind of transcends all systems like the way Patrick Mahomes has. If you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, you know, even, you know, all props to Andy Reid, but you could bring someone else in there and you're still going to have the same Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure, you know, you could say the same thing about Deshaun Watson. So, of course, you know, there are some young guys who will be coming in the future and we don't really know what we have already in Joe Burrow. And a little drum roll for Tua Tagovailoa. Hopefully he can get a contract like this if he performs well enough, you know. But as it stands right now, Patrick Mahomes is on an island of his own. I can't think of any other player that has had both the combination of success this early on and talent. I mean, you look at Tom Brady, he had success very early on in his career, but I think we could all say that we knew the talent that he had was, you know, part of it was with the system, not a knock on him, but he wasn't displaying that magnificent arm talent that Dan Marino had early on in his career, or guys like Brett Favre had. He wasn't displaying that same caliber of arm talent, you know, Peyton Manning, but he did have the success early on. Whereas you look at Dan Marino, miraculous arm talent. Everyone could see it. It really jumped off the page, but he didn't really have the success early on. He didn't have the awards. He didn't have the Super Bowl win that Patrick Mahomes has already had so far early on in this career. So when you combine those two, it really does put Patrick Mahomes on an island by himself. He has the talent, he has the success, he hasn't butt heads with anybody in the Kansas City organization. He is perfect with Andy Reid, there's no issues there. He has had some, you know, good weapons around him, but in other instances, he's really made the guys around him improve. Mecole Hardman looked terrific when Tyreek Hill was out with an injury. Damian Williams, you know, an undrafted running back, never really had success with the Dolphins. They bring him in, the guy looks terrific. So just by having Patrick Mahomes on this team, your offense is essentially to an extent set. You know that they are at least going to be decent, and that's not something I could say for a lot of teams around the NFL. So there was a good article that talked about the implications that this contract could have, and it was on Aqua 13. It was written by Thomas Wood, and this was a really good article, and it kind of talked about some of the repercussions this contract could have for the Dolphins. And I do think one of the biggest points, because I do think, you know, this was more of an outlier situation. It's not something that I'm expecting future teams to do. So one of the biggest ramifications this could have for a team like the Dolphins is, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be having some sort of trouble with cap space. There is going to be some star players, some guys that look terrific in Kansas City that they cannot retain and that fall to other teams in the league. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill, you look at Hardman, you look at Travis Kelce, you look on the defensive side of the ball, you look at Frank Clark, you look at Tyrann Mathieu. There is a ton of talent there, but they cannot keep all those guys when you have a monster contract signing. So, you know, half and half, I'm going to look at this as an opportunity to land some very good players as they leave the Chiefs, but it's also going to be kind of reminiscent of the Patriots system. I always said anytime a player was a free agent and he had some great years with the Patriots, I didn't want any part of him. I didn't want any part in Deion Lewis. I didn't want any part in players like Stavon Ridley or any guys who it seemed like they had success in the Patriots offense, because they knew their system was good. They knew they could plug essentially any player in there. I think Kansas City is going to be very reminiscent of that, in the sense of, you know, you could plug in, you know, a pretty average player. He's going to do good because he has a star in Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball. And I'm hoping the Dolphins aren't a team that in the future see that and they say, hey, let's go pay this guy a big contract. You have to recognize what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, how he lifts up a player. I wouldn't be buying into many guys after they're forced to leave Kansas City due to the salary cap issue that they're going to be likely having in a few years once Patrick Mahomes' contract really starts to put the team in a difficult position. Now we move on to David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns requesting a trade from the team. And this is kind of shocking because, I mean, they're a team that has a lot of talent on paper that you think that this is a place where you'd kind of want to be. And that's not something you typically say with Cleveland, but they do have a lot of talent. They have a new coach over there. There were a lot of signs pointing to this team being on the up and coming, despite having a kind of letdown season last year and the firing of Freddie Kitchens. But then, of course, they brought in Austin Hooper from the Atlanta Falcons. Austin Hooper's a stud, one of the best tight ends in the NFL, definitely defines this new era of tight end where the guy's like essentially a wide receiver out there. So, I mean, I could see why David Njoku potentially wants out if he is not going to be the obvious number one tight end. When he came out in the draft, a lot of people regarded him as a generational talent, as somebody who needed to be selected by any means in the first round out of Miami. The guy was terrific. And as a matter of fact, he met with the Dolphins. He initially passed on his opportunity to meet with the team, but the Dolphins, according to Barry Jackson, liked him so much that they set up another meeting with him and he elected to meet with them. But then Cleveland ended up drafting him in the first round with the 29th pick overall. He hasn't had a successful year. He hasn't had more than 700 receiving yards. Last year, he broke his wrist and only played in 4 games. So it has not been a good start for David Njoku. In a lot of the sense, has been a bust, but he hasn't really had many opportunities considering how bad the offense was and then missing last season. So should the Dolphins be trading for him? I don't think he has a ton of value right now. I mean, maybe like a 4th round pick. I think you would be able to get a guy like David Njoku because he's still young, still on that rookie deal. And the Browns don't really have much leverage there with Austin Hooper being the obvious number one tight end. So I think whatever team makes a trade for him, they'd be able to do so for relatively cheap. But should the Dolphins do it? And I mean, first things first, he played at the University of Miami. And it seems like Miami always tries to pick guys that are either hometown heroes or had some success in the area. You look back at Mike Walton, Allen Hurns. I'm never surprised when they get a guy that has some sort of a pre-tied relevancy to Miami. So that's one thing. You know, it may not be a huge factor, but that's something that's always kind of in the back of my mind. But then you look at how does he fit into the system, and this is kind of something that is a little bit of a head scratcher to me, because when I already look at Mike Gesicki, I'm kind of like, well, you know, how is Mike Gesicki going to fit in here? I don't see him as somebody who fits, you know, the traditional role of a tight end. I kind of have him in this Chan Gailey, Quincy Anunua role, and if you know him, he was a wide receiver with a big body who at times was used more as a tight end. So I kind of see Mike Gesicki as kind of being the opposite of that, being a tight end that is used as a wide receiver primarily. So where would David Njoku fit? And I do think, you know, David Njoku, bigger frame, bigger, you know, more muscular, kind of looks more like a traditional tight end, but the skill set that he brings is kind of similar to Mike Gesicki. He is a great receiving tight end. He is also somebody that I wouldn't really necessarily trust as a blocking tight end. So you kind of have two of the same. On top of that, they are both on rookie deals, so that's a good thing, but at the same time, their contract ends at the same time, so you're going to have kind of a short-lived tandem that you don't really know if you're going to be able to extend both. And if you're trying to prove the narrative that, hey, Mike Gesicki's awesome, we love what he did last season, he had a breakout season, it'd be a little bit weird if you kind of bring in a tight end with a similar set of skills to compete against him. So I like the idea of it being a tandem. I really like the idea of it being cheap. And that last point, it being cheap, is why I see this as still somewhat likely, because even though I don't think it makes sense on paper, I don't see it as an obvious need or he has an obvious role carved out for him. I mean, I didn't see an obvious need for the Cowboys to draft CeeDee Lamb, but sometimes, you know, when the value is too much to pass up on, you just got to stack your team with as much value as you can get, with as much talent as you can get. And I still think there is some talent in David Njoku, despite him being kind of underwhelming so far. I do think that he hasn't really been given the best opportunity to thrive. There's some value there. And from that aspect, at least, it makes sense. The Dolphins still have a lot of capital to play with. They could do it and just kind of take a flyer on him, and you could get tremendous upside from it. I do think there's going to be other teams that have a bigger need for him, and they actually kind of need a tight end, or they need somebody that offers the skills that David Njoku provides, and they'd be more prone to giving up more than the Dolphins. But I wouldn't rule the Dolphins out in this aspect, just because it's a lot of talent. It could be potentially cheap, a lot of upside. I don't think there's necessarily a huge risk involved. You know, it makes sense. It's not a bad offer to make. I just don't see it as something that is just glaringly obvious of a move for the Dolphins to make. So we move on to the next topic, and this is the 2020 season and how the coronavirus is going to affect, the salary of the players. Because from Tom Pelissero, he reports that the NFLPA informed its board of representatives today that the NFL proposed 35% of player salaries be held in escrow to help manage costs during the 2020 season, per sources. So Vince Beagle, the linebacker for the Dolphins, he had a great season last year. He put, and I quote, he said, "Here's two-thirds of your salary to do the same dangerous job in even more dangerous conditions, not to mention restrictions on our personal life that won't apply to the owner. Sounds about right, ... close quote." So if you're somebody who keeps up with sports beyond just football, you will know this sounds eerily familiar to what was happening with Major League Baseball, and that is the last thing you want to happen to the NFL. There was constantly a butting heads between the owners and the players, between contracts and prorating it throughout the season, whether it's a shortened season, how it will affect it all. And all that did was make the owners look bad. It made the players look bad. It took away time from actually playing the sport, and it was just horrible all around for the perception of the league. So this, to me, is not something that I want to see happen to football. And Vince Beagle replied to a fan in the comments and made a good point. Somebody said, easy solution, cancel the season. That way nobody gets exposed and everyone loses the same percentage of income. And Vince Beagle replied to that fan saying, can't do that. Lose-lose situation for everybody, owners, players, coaches, and most importantly, the fans. And that is, you know, it's absolutely true. This is not something that you want to happen. And right now on paper, I don't know the details of this, but I'm prone to siding with the players. I don't know how you expect them to play a season that is, just as long for less of their salary. In the conditions right now during a pandemic, football is a sport. The NFL is constantly preaching player safety. That kind of already in itself disaligns itself with playing in a pandemic, and then you're going to pay them less. And then to bring it all home, the restrictions that players are going to be having so that they don't get affected throughout the entire season, you're going to be keeping them in a bubble, getting constantly tested, whereas the owners don't have to go through any of that, any of those restrictions, and they are not going to be restricting their pay. It seems like this is going to be completely the players missing out, whereas the owners don't really have any sort of loss in this situation. This is not something that I like to see, and I know a lot of people have this outlook on NFL athletes, like you're a millionaire, you get to play this sport for millions of dollars. It's a kid's game. You get to play. Why are you complaining about anything? And the fact is, everybody is deserving of their percentage of their pay. And you see how much money, you see how many billions of dollars the NFL brings in. The NFL players that are the foundation of this sport deserve their rightful percentage of that profit. And while, you know, most of the guys that we think of when we think of football, the bigger names, I mean, we all saw Patrick Mahomes bring in that massive contract. That isn't, like I said, he's the outlier. That's not the contract every NFL player has. A lot of these guys are on these tiny deals that aren't going to have these long-lived careers throughout 10 years of the NFL that they're going to be raking in the millions. That's not the story for a lot of guys. A lot of these guys are going to be in the NFL out. A lot of these guys are going to get hurt and never be able to rake in the same amount of money. So two-thirds of it, you know, while it may not be a massive amount to some of the bigger names, that could be a lot for some of these guys that are just on their rookie deals, or, you know, they're never going to get that huge second check in the NFL. That is huge for them. And I don't think it's the players who are already going to be in these difficult circumstances playing during a pandemic that should be the ones suffering because of it. And those are my thoughts on that. And guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you have any comments or opinions you would like to share, you can reach me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven or at Via The Source. I appreciate any follows, questions, and I say this every episode, but if you could send in questions or topics that you would like for me to discuss in future episodes, guys, I'm all ears. I would love to do so, and I would love to interact with you guys more. And if you haven't already, if you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, I say that, and then you guys always follow through each week, and it really does, you know, it makes my day to go and read through some of the comments you guys leave. And if you could, if you go on YouTube and you search Via The Source on the channels page, I do have a YouTube channel that I am trying to, you know, post more on, and I have a few videos on there. So if you could subscribe to that one, if I build an audience, I would love to do a video element for the podcast as well. So let me know if you'd be interested in that. But guys, that is how I'm going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.